One-on-One with Greg Pogue, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel, live from Bongo Java at Omni Nashville. For the next hour, One-on-One with Greg Pogue gets up close and personal with those making the news and those reporting it. Also brought to you by the Southern Steak and Oyster, Gary Force Acura, the Nashville Predators, Toots Restaurants, and Flat Rock Coffee, Tea, and more. Now, Greg Pogue.
It is hour number two of our broadcast block right here at Omni Nashville Hotel, Bongo Java. Crazy Charlie, Predneck Nation already out there if you want to go find it. Of course, the Avs in town for a 4:30 game this afternoon. Predneck Nation out there, WNSR.com, all of our platforms, Predneck Nation as well. And then top of the hour, Forever March with Zach and Jonathan and all that's going on. So, with Jonathan as well. Now, who is the, I'm drawing a blank. And Blake Lovell. Good Lord. Blake Lovell. I'm right there on the tip. Now, usually, this is a bit of a departure. We've been doing one-on-one with Greg Pogue probably 5 or 6 years in the market. We moved down here, about 2.5, 3, I guess it'll be 3 years ago, football season, to Bongo Java. And, we always, the premise is to have the guests come. We want them, if they want to enjoy the Kitchen Notes or Bongo Java as our guest, that's fine. But have an intimate setting right here. So anyway, this is one of the longest intros I'm ever going to have, so just hold on there. But anyway, so about 1:30 this morning, I get a text. For some reason, I was awake. I'd been asleep for a little while, and then it was our guest texting that he had a stomach virus, and I'm thinking, oh, what are we going to do, flip it to network? No, we couldn't do a rerun, turn that around in such a short amount of time. But he is a trooper with us this morning. He's not here, but he's with us, I guess. Jeremy Finley, the chief investigative reporter for the channel for the News 4 I-Team, an author, and a good guy on top of everything else. Jeremy, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Greg. I will tell you that I appreciate, first of all, you responding to the text this morning. Second of all, I wish I could be down there. I may be completely fine. It just wasn't a great night, and so I thought, I don't really want to infect him if there is something wrong with me. I'm up, I'm alive, I'm kicking, and I'm happy to be here.
Well, we'll do it this way. You know what, though? I've been thinking only two people have ever done this show, and it's 5+ years by phone. One of them was Mike Lowrance, who is the first and only ever professional bass fisherman who is legally blind.
Wow.
And so, which is a unique story in and of itself. But
yeah.
Anyway, so you okay, man? Let's get that right out of the way.
I'm all good. I'm sitting on my couch and kind of hanging out. And so, yeah, I was just like, it's one of those times this time of year where you're like, if things aren't feeling too good, it's probably best just to not be around too many people until everything's good. But I am well, and I'm happy to be here, Greg. I'm glad to finally be able to do this.
Well, it's good. And, of course, you needed the past few weekends to get your priorities straight. I know your kids' basketball. Come on, man.
Yeah, I know, right? It completely defines our lives,
yeah,
right?
Yes.
We get kids playing basketball and everything like that. And luckily, both our girls last night are actually sleepovers, so it was just kind of a chill out morning. And like I said, I was really looking forward to coming down there, but we'll at least enjoy the best we can just by phone.
Hey, Jeremy, I tell you, I was thinking maybe that it was maybe some fallout of that just that picture on Twitter that you put up. If everybody wants to follow Jeremy on Twitter, it's at WSMV Jeremy I-Team as well. But it was you being escorted out of the state legislature. I'll just tell it like it is. You were being escorted out of Representative David Byrd's office at the direction of House Speaker Glenn Quesada, and there you were being escorted out by a state trooper who you did say was incredibly courteous, but it looked like somebody had shot your dog.
Yeah, I know, right? when you get the screen grabs of video, everybody's done this, and how ridiculous you can look and just, as a screen grab, and And so my photojournalist partner sent it to me so we could put it out on social media, because honestly what had happened was is that word had spread pretty quickly throughout Cordell Hull and throughout the Capitol that this had happened. And so I figured, okay, I'm gonna put this out so people understand that I wasn't arrested or anything like that. It was just kind of a unfortunate end to the day. But yeah, I mean, it was, so we put it out, and of course, every buddy of mine in town and family member of mine, and, you know, in the U.S., they're all like, you look like somebody just shot your dog. And I said, I think what it was is I was, you know, again, the trooper was very courteous. I was not at all pleased at what was occurring. And I think I was trying to process my thoughts at that point, how to respond in a courteous way. But it, you know, it was, it's what it is. You know, sometimes, you know, a big part of my job and the job of my fellow reporters on the I team at Channel 4 is to really hold the powerful accountable. And, you know, we had been wanting to speak with Representative Byrd for about a year now for all the stories that we've done. And when the video came out with the Speaker of the House defending him, you know, we thought, okay, this is, we're just going to go there and we're going to talk to him. And he was in his office and the door was open when we walked in, and it quickly shut and he wouldn't come out. And so as I was sitting there, I felt pretty courteously just sitting there. My photojournalist partner was out in the hallway, and we just sat there. And after there was a chief of staff for Glenn Cassidy came in and told us that Representative Byrd wouldn't be meeting with us. And you know, I said, hey, he's literally right there, right? He's literally right behind that door, and I just have one question I need to ask him. And so so he left, and then the troopers came in. There was about four troopers. They were very courteous, and they said, you got to go. You can stay in the building, but you cannot be in this office. So, you know, it was – so word, you know, anybody that sees that, you know, a bunch of troopers, you know, escorting a reporter out, is going to get around fast. So bottom line, we had to, you know, put out that picture and then obviously do the story to kind of explain what happened.
Jeremy Finley here is our guest today, 101 with Greg Pogue right here. Bongo Java, Omni Nashville Hotel, the chief investigative reporter for the News 4 I-team. And I say chief, and if you're in the business in this city now for, and I'm not going to, you know, has for all of its stations and certainly Channel 4 with Nancy Amon's been, I don't want to, there's a lot of people that don't, there's a great history of investigative reporting, and we'll just look at some of the people and things that you've gotten done, new state laws and all the things that's happened in through your investigation reportings. But quite frankly, if I'm in that end of the business, I don't want to see anybody like you. I don't want to see you. Okay, if I see you, yeah. I'm running the other way.
Yeah, it happens. You know, I think that, you know, you get a complete mixed reaction from people. You know, regular folks like you and me, you know, that, you know, may watch Channel 4 and seen the stories. You know, that we get a lot of great support from the community, from people saying, you know, thank you for doing this kind of work. But on the flip side, yeah, I mean, when you do this for as long as I have, 16 years at Channel 4, you know, people understand the same thing with Andy Amons and Lindsey Bramson, who's on our team, and the other great reporters that have worked in the unit in the past. You know, when you show up somewhere, especially when there are, you know, politicians or what have you, you know, their reaction is often, oh, no. You know, I think that what sums it up the best is when Antti Amons and I were doing our investigations into Judge Moreland, and if anybody's familiar with how that went down in the past year or so, we approached him at the bench, and his reaction to us was, uh-oh, I feel like I'm in front of the firing squad. And we always kind of joked about that, given what obviously happened as a result of the stories that Antti did and the ones that I did as well. But, you know, it's what we're intended to do when we got in journalism. This is what we wanted to do, was to do fair and accurate stories. And that is the thing that we tell people all the time, especially lawmakers or people who are in positions of power who don't want to talk to us. We say, look, you know, we are literally here. We're investigating something, but we need your side of the story so we can do a fair story. We just want to sit down and talk to you. We don't want to grandstand. We don't want to make a big scene. We don't want to do anything like that. We just want to find out what happened. But unfortunately, there are a lot of people that feel like if they just dodge us, then we'll go away. But at the end of the day, we, you know, we're going to find the answers that we need one way or the other, whether or not it's, you know, through open records requests or what it is. If you're an elected official, if you're somebody in this city that's in a position of power and a reporter is asking you questions, I feel like that it's your part of your job to answer those questions so we can do fair stories. And I think that's really, Greg, what it comes down to is we're just trying to get what actually happened and uncover the truth. And we can't do that unless people talk to us. So that's why I think it's frustrating when we have incidents like we did this past week where troopers had to be called in to get us out when all we want to do is ask a question. So, you know, I'll let your listeners determine what they think when someone goes to that step to remove a reporter from asking a question.
Jeremy Finley with us this morning, 101 with Greg Pogue, chief investigator reporter for the News 4 I-Team at WSMV. Jeremy, I-Team as well. And I'm going to get a little later on, get about, you know, growing up and obviously graduating at Southern Illinois University, Carbondale, the main campus. You're a Saluki. Got
yes,
your master's degree in public affairs reporting from the University of Illinois at Springfield. That's all cool. I was reading this bio, though, and I got to the point where it's a good thing that I didn't read the bio after you texted me at 1:30. I already knew you were a Cardinals fan. So,
yeah.
we'll just leave it at that because I'm a huge okay. Brewers fan. And, you know.
We can all get along, Greg.
No, we can't. Our relationship will be superficial now.
It will. But, hey, you know, you're not a Cubs fan and you're not a Reds fan.
Yeah,
you know, we can be civil.
Well, that's, you know, I no Reds, no Cubs, no Cardinals. That's the, you know, that Jeremy with us. What got you into looking? I guess you need to have, you know, that investigative gene in you that you know, and certainly where, you know, we can go back to Watergate and where everything has become, and then actually the investigative part of it really swung in my mind too far to one end where everybody was trying to dig up dirt regardless if the dirt was there, but they start with zero to find dirt. Does that make sense? You go out, you've already got a basis of what you think may or may not happen, but where did that come from? Where did the first time you say, man, this is what I want to do, and I have the aptitude to do it?
Well, I think that even my parents identified it to some degree. I was always that kid that was listening when I shouldn't have not been listening, and they would get aggravated with me when I would ask questions about something that I've eavesdropped on that I shouldn't have been. And now my oldest daughter, I tease her because she kind of has the same instinct, and I tell her to turn off her reporter ears. I'm like, hey, then, you know, that's not, you know, turn off your reporter ears. You don't need to be listening to this. But I honestly think it was to a degree that I've always been that person that wanted to, you know as much as I could. I was always fascinated with, especially, you know, kind of controversial issues and wanting to know both sides. But it was really in college when I had the luck to work at the Daily Egyptian, which is a college newspaper at Southern Illinois University. And I even knew then at, you know, 18, 19 years old that, you know, it was good to cover, you know, events, and that was fine. But pretty quickly I learned that I wasn't always satisfied with the answers that I was getting from, you know, elected officials or whatever, and that I wanted to push a little bit farther. And growing up in my house, my parents didn't watch a whole lot of news. They read the newspaper, but we did watch 60 Minutes. And so I grew up watching 60 Minutes. And that, to me, I think was really the, hey, that's what I want to do. I want to do what those guys are doing. And then when I went on to get my master's degree, I worked out of the state capitol and really kind of got my first taste of, you know, seeing, because when you cover the capitol in Illinois, you know, the Chicago reporters will come down and then the press corps out of the Illinois capitol are pretty fierce. And so you get a really good education as to, you know, how really good skilled reporters will hold the powerful accountable. So I think it was kind of that method is where it started, just that interest in it, watching 60 Minutes growing up, and then being, you know, trained around these really great reporters that, you know, really taught me how to do it. And when I was looking for a station that I wanted to come work at that had an investigative unit. You know, Channel 4 is one of the ones across the country that it was really known for this. And so I, you know, really tried to get in, and I got in. And after a couple of years, I was able to join the unit, and now I lead it. So it's a pretty great place to be.
Two-time recipient of the IRE Award, the top honor for investigative reporters and editors as well. He's been nominated for that five times overall. Also, Fortnum, I think I need to update this one, right? 14 Mid-South Emmys. Didn't you win a couple, two or three, this past Saturday night?
Well, all that anybody's talking about is Joe Dubin's Emmy.
Well, of course. You know I'm getting, I'm going to get to him in a minute, okay?
Yes, but yes, we were very, I'll tell you, the investigative units in this town and in the Mid-South where we compete are extremely strong. So anytime that you can even be nominated in any of the investigative categories, it's a, you know that you should, you know, feel pretty good about that. So yes, we won for a series of investigations we did into some corruption along the Cumberland, and then we won for a consumer investigation where we exposed how telemarketers were targeting senior citizens and buying their phone numbers. And so there were two stories that we were really proud of. So yeah, we picked up two over the last weekend.
So you've got 16 and Joe now has three.
You know,
but really, yeah, but for college, but for a long college, time, right? Yeah. He was, but for a long time, he was the Susan Lucci of the Emmys over there. So, we've got to hear. But now I'm happy for Joe and everything. I know how hard he works. Edward R. Murrow Awards and multiple first place honors from the Associated Press, Journalist of the Year three times, and they named the best large market TV reporter in Tennessee in 2013. Just some of the accolades for our guest today. The stomach virus bitten Jeremy Finley.
You know, I like to think that maybe it was, you know, so we were all out covering the flood yesterday, right?
Everybody, yeah.
And that's such a big story today. And so I like to think it was because I was out all day in the cold and rain and then in a live truck driving all around. I just think that that combination with a lot of coffee, I just think all that together, my stomach was like, nope, that's as far as you're going to push it. And so I like to think that I'm just got kind of a work hangover is what I think maybe all is right. Going on.
Okay, well, good. I can relate to a lot of those over the years, but just forget it. Hey, one thing, though, I'm going to do a spot right here. You hold on because it's going to be – I'll have Joe bring it to you, but every one of our guests gets a bottle of Toots Wing Hot Sauce. And so I'll have – and by the time it gets to you, it'll be half gone. But
we'll
Toots Good Food, down in Rutherford County, if you've ever been down in Rutherford County, the iconic locations of Toots, there's three locations. The one that's been there 30-plus years at Northwest Broad Street. There's out on South Church Street, that's Highway 231, like you're heading over to Shelbyville. My neck of the woods, Sam Ridley Parkway in Smyrna. A new one coming online in Blackman. And we always just started off talking about the wings. They do the wings, the famous buffalo wing traditional style. They're never frozen. They'll flash fry them. They're not deep fried. Essentially, they just get that crispiness on them, and then they hit the sauce. And, man, they always call it the sauce is the boss there. The varieties, honey barbecue, mild garlic. By the way, Cajun dry rub you can get, and then add any of the sauces above or below. Medium, hot barbecue, hot garlic, Nashville hot, and your favorite, Jeremy. That would have been good for you about 2 o'clock this morning, some of that napalm, hot sauce. Couple shots of that, and you'd have been fine.
Absolutely. I would have been there at 6 a.m. ready to go.
Yeah, I don't think so. And we wouldn't want you down here. But anyway, I'll have Joe drop off at the station. You're a complimentary. I'll make a couple of it as well.
Definitely.
Jeremy Finley is our guest, and I guess we can call it his alter ego. He has put out a very successful book called The Darkest Time of Night, a fiction that was just critically so well received, and he's always already working on a follow-up for that. We'll chat with Jeremy about that right after the break here. 101 with Greg Pogue, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel. Bongo Java, the site on Nashville Sports Radio.
I'm Eric Oprahn, Managing Director of the Omni Nashville Hotel. I want to personally invite you to experience the local flavor of Music City at our award-winning property. From our one-of-a-kind culinary outlet to the ultimate luxury of our full-service Mokara Spa, Omni Nashville offers something for everyone. Whether it's the Biscuit Bar in our Southern-inspired Kitchen Notes restaurant or our upscale Honky Tonk bar lines, or if you prefer a romantic dinner, visit Bob's Steak and Chop House. Come on down and see us at 250 Fifth Avenue South, located in the heart of the SoBro District.
In the heart of downtown Nashville, the Southern Steak and Oyster is a unique and animated eatery that offers an authentically Southern adventure with a twist. Whether it be breakfast, lunch, dinner, weekend brunch, the Southern Steak and Oyster has a variety of dining experiences. Visit thesouthernnashville.com to peruse menus, make reservations, purchase unique products, or book business and private parties. Located at 153rd Avenue South, the Southern Steak and Oyster offers free valet or validated self-parking. Give the Southern Steak and Oyster a call at 615-724-1762 or visit thesouthernnashville.com.
The Smashville app is your key to all things Nashville Predators. From game day stats and videos to rosters, promotion redemption, and contest information, the Smashville app has all the information Pred fans need this season. Make sure to download the official Smashville app in the Apple App Store or Google Play for access to exclusive game day content, promotions, and easy access to Nashville Predators information. Visit NashvillePredators.com/app for more.
Hello, I'm Tom Hodges of Goggin Cold Hall, a regional refrigerated company that operates within a 500-mile radius of our home in Smyrna, Tennessee. We're seeking professional drivers to join our family-owned business. Our number one priority of serving our customers is by taking care of our employees first. With a $1,000 sign-on bonus plus a driver referral program, Goggin Cold Hall offers an excellent benefit package with a 401k retirement plan, paid vacations and holidays, insurance options, and a competitive pay structure that includes weekly, monthly, and quarterly bonuses. No Northeast travel, no touch freight, and with our late model Freightliner and Kenworth equipment, we promise to treat you in a first-class manner. If you're interested in joining our family at Goggin Cold Hall, please visit www.goggincold.com. That's www.goggincold.com or call us at 931-225-3873. That's Goggin Cold Hall, the coldest team in town.
Flat Rock Coffee, Tea, and More, located at 2640 Nolensville Pike, serves fine coffee and tea, locally brewed beer from Black Abbey Brewing Company, as well as fresh prepared food. Large groups are welcome from meetings or parties. They accommodate groups of 2 to 40. Call ahead to reserve your space. Follow them on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, or visit the web at flatrockcoffee.com. That's Flat Rock Coffee, Tea, and More, where neighbors come together. 2640 Nolensville Pike. Visit flatrockcoffee.com.
With more than 15,000 apartments, you know that Freeman Webb apartment communities must be managed with expertise by professionals who care about the quality of your residence with upkeep, cleanliness, and safety. Each community enjoys caring on-site property managers in constant communication with the home office. 7 day a week, round-the-clock emergency service, ongoing preventative maintenance, timely response to residents' requests. You'll find each of these well-managed apartments offers a unique style that makes it not just a place to live, but a place you comfortably can call home. For more information, visit FreemanWebb.com. That's FreemanWebb.com.
The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I always thought you were such a nice, quiet young man.
Westbrook pulls up at the free throw line. Tied ball game.
Here's a kid with an honest face.
Weekday afternoons at 4.
I'm in my car constantly late for appointments because I'm sitting here listening to you on the radio.
Here we go. We're going live right now.
I just want to tell you, I've been a long-time listener for 12, 13 years.
The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
What a web with Greg Pogue, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel here at Bongo Java. Crazy Charlie producing on site. Jonathan Najjar, he is back at the Nashville Sports Studios. Top of the hour, Forever March with Zach Williams and Jonathan and Blake Lovell. Getting down to crunch time as we head into March Madness. Jeremy Finley is our guest. He is the chief investigative reporter for the News 4 I-Team, author is now, in the last 18 months or so, been added to his title, The Darkest Time of Night. came out June 26, 2018. People Magazine, New York Post called it one of the best books of the summer. An NPR review reads like this: Jeremy, it will keep you turning pages. If this sounds like a cross between The X-Files, The OA, Stranger Things, and Mr. Robot, that's because it is a hugely satisfying while still mystifying suspense novel. All of that, and obviously selling the books, that has to be gratifying for your first time out. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, Greg. And, you know, you and I were, you were kind enough to talk to me about it on you and Joe's show and when it first came out. And, you know, I always tell people that it was such a lengthy process to even get to this point. Like most writers, you know, you get so much rejection over the years until you really can and finally get the story to where it needs to be, to where the publishers are interested in it. And so it is gratifying. It is one of those things where you literally just work and you work and you work and you don't take no for an answer. And that's ultimately what it was, is that I was just stubborn and kind of, you know, treated it like I do some of my investigations, to where I'm like, you know, and until I get this happening, I'm just going to chip away at it. So yes, it's very gratifying and very, very pleased with the reception.
Well, talk about the premise of the book.
So the idea actually came because I have long been, you know, and unfortunately have done many stories about missing people. And so that has really been an unfortunate part of my career, and I've spent a lot of time with the families of missing people. And I was starting to think about, you know, if I were to write a thriller, which are the kind of books that I like, you know, I'd really like to look at that dynamic of what a family does, how far a family will go to find a loved one. And always having that in the back of my mind, my mother-in-law kind of dropped a bomb on us it's been several years ago, and I shouldn't say a bomb because it wasn't like it was a huge revelation, but she surprised us when she told us that once, while my father-in-law was in law school, that she had a job where she worked for astronomers and at this university, and one of the astronomers researched UFOs. And it was that experience, along with my interest interest isn't the right word, but my experience in working with families on stories of missing people, that kind of came together. And when that did come together, just that part of your brain that's a writer, you start coming up with a story and thinking about what could happen. And so that was really the genesis of the story.
How did you balance, obviously, your day job leading the Channel 4 I team, and then obviously family, daughters, you know, husband, all of that kind of stuff, and then write this as well? Where did you find the time?
It's a really great question, and I'm still really trying to figure that out. I'm a 5 a.m. writer, which is not the most fun of places to be, but it works for me. When I'm writing, I get up at 5, work for, you know, a couple hours to get my girls to school, and then I sneak in a quick trip to the gym, and then off I am to Channel 4. And so then, of course, that's a beast in itself, to where, you know, we work all the time. And so it's been really interesting, because in writing then the first book, you know, I had all the time in the world because I could work on it from time to time. And you know, you eventually, you know, get to a point, hopefully, where you can get an agent and then the publisher picks it up. But with the second one, so I have the second book coming out this July, I was under a deadline. So that was different. I only had a certain amount of time where I could get that together. And so that was some crunch time. That was some long weekends and 5 a.m.s and things like that. But I will say, you will not find me complaining, because anybody that dreams of doing this, you know, writing books, you know, you're just so happy to be in the game that you're going to just not feel at all bad that you haven't gotten any sleep. You're just happy to be in the game. And I think that's kind of where I am now, is I'm just so thrilled to have the, you know, when you get, you know, emails from people in Australia and Canada and, you know, all, from all over the United States of people that have read your book. And I just talked to the publisher. It's going to be published in the fall in overseas. And so it's just one of the great joys of my professional life to have, you know, this book literally all over the world. And so that's, you know, you can't complain too much about having to get up at 5 a.m. to work.
Chief investigator for the News 4i team, Jeremy Finley. The book, The Darkest Time of Night, the novel. Also, you can go to jeremyfinley.com as well. And, of course, the book's available every place where books are. Everybody knows how to buy books. They can go find it anywhere. Now, you talked about the one that's coming out, and with a little bit of a deadline pressure, that became a whole new animal, because the other, you, I guess you could work at your own, and now you having the thought of somebody looking over your shoulder with expectations outwardly. The Dark Above, it's, tell me its premise, and where you went with it.
So I knew that I'm a huge reader myself, right? And I love to read. I'm always reading three or four books at a time. And so one of the things that was really important to me was we've all seen a movie that we loved, right? Or we read a book that we loved, and then the sequel came out, and you either saw that sequel or you read that sequel, and you were like, wow, that just wasn't as good as I wanted it to be. So I think that was my biggest pressure in writing this, is that I know as a reader how much I love a great sequel. And so I really wanted to step things up to the nth degree in terms of tension and suspense. And, you know, this is a thriller as well, and it is the sequel to The Darkest Time of Night. If you haven't read the book, I won't spoil the premise at all for you. But the Darkest Time of Night obviously focuses on the search for a missing boy, and everything this family does to try and find this boy. The sequel, The Darkest Time of Night, takes place 15 years later and deals with the ramifications of what happens at the end of the first book, how this family kind of has to not only put their lives back together, but create a new normal. And I don't want to give away too much, but...
But the thing is, this is the curious thing, too. When you were writing the first one, was there a thought of a sequel? Or did the success of the book sort of bring that along?
Sure. So when I wrote the first book, our publishers, which is St. Martin out of New York, I have a great editor, Pete, and he said, hey, this is a two-book deal. We want two books out of you for this first go-around. I'm like, great, you know, I'll write The Darkest Time of Night, and then I'll... You know, one time in my life, I'd love to write the sequel to it, and then I'll write but my second book will be a completely different book. And he kind of laughed, and he said, no, we want the sequel. And so I will say that, you know, we kind of knocked around some ideas that I had about the sequel, and he said, that's what we want. So it was very clear from the publishers that they, you know, hoped that, that, you know, there would be enough interest in the first book to where, you know, there would be interest in the second. So I'm fingers crossed and everything that when the book comes out on July 23rd, that the people that enjoyed the first book will want to pick up the sequel.
And then you'll make all the rounds signing those books and everything, all the obligatory meet and greets.
We do. And I'll tell you, that, Greg, is one of the greatest experiences of this entire thing. And people have asked me, they're like, oh, you know, what's the best part? And I said, there is nothing greater been talking to your fellow readers. And, you know, when you go to a book signing or you go speak to a book club or whatever, and just that passion that we all share, whether it's nonfiction or thrillers or whatever you want to read, you know, we all have that passion. And so just, you know, you hear the songwriters in our town talk about what a thrill it is to hear, you know, when they're singing a song and then the people in the audience sing the words back because they know the song. Well, for writers, you know, you go somewhere to a book signing or whatever, and people will talk about what you've written and how they loved your characters. And it's that same sensation to where you're just so excited that someone else has enjoyed what you've written. And, you know, it's become a part of their, you know, experience or lives or whatever. I've gotten a lot of emails from people all over the country and, you know, just saying, hey, you know, I identified with this. Thank you for writing it in this way, and You know, these are difficult times that we are in. You know, these are very tense times. And I think we're all looking for healthy escapes. And I think, you know, sports in a lot of ways is that way for a lot of us, to where we, there's just something that's so gratifying about being able to escape everything and watch a game. But at the same time, I think books do the same thing too, where it kind of transports us and allows us to leave the difficulties of the days we live in and just have a good, enjoyable experience.
Jeremy Finley is our guest, 101 with Greg Pogue, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel, right here at Bongo Java. He's the chief investigative reporter for the News 4 I-Team, and as we just discussed this segment, author, The Darkest Time of Night, and I guess I can call it the sequel, right? The Dark Above. Is that how it's being billed as the sequel?
Absolutely, it is.
Okay,
the,
cool.
It is the sequel, so you're absolutely right about that.
All right, we'll be back. We're going to get find out what's going on at Jeremy's house when he's there and when he's not there. We'll figure it out. Jeremy Finley is our guest. You can follow him on Twitter at WSMV Jeremy I-Team. One of our sponsors, Toots. Always talk about Toots. And, you know, sometimes you just got to have a burger, and I understand that, man. You just, and the good thing about the burgers at Toots, all three locations down in Rutherford County and the new one that's going to come online a little later this spring over in Blackman, 8 ounces. Never frozen. Think of that. 8 ounce. Never frozen. Their iconic burger, the Toots Burger, has been topped with bacon and cheese and barbecue sauce. Avocado Southwest Burger, Black and Blue Burger, the Mexican Sombrero Burger, or you could just get that classic half-pound burger, and you can mix and match your toppings with your cheeses, and it's just outstanding there. But, you know, we're talking about this. We're talking about just eating healthy a little bit. I'm just going to go through over some of the things there that you can eat that are healthy. Peel and eat shrimp. You got that. Oysters on the half shell. Yes. They will do the grilled fingers for you. That way you don't have to have them dyed with that. Southwest avocado chicken sandwich, all the other different things there, and I'm getting to them here. All of their salads, buffalo blue chicken salad, grilled Cajun chicken salad, chicken finger salad, just a regular. This is the one here. Cap, I don't do this enough, and I see it right now, and I think, man, I had this in a while. Captain Jack's Seafood Pasta Salad. Chilled seashell pasta, shrimp, crab meat on a bed of mixed greens, and you can get that, or you can just get the pasta only with the topping. So certainly they've got what they call the chick on a stick. They marinate these chicken breasts and serve them with a cherry mustard sauce. There you go. I rest my case. Toots.com down in Rutherford County, all three locations. More with Jeremy Finley when we come back. 101 with Greg Pogue right here, National Sports Radio.
Inner Zen Outer Beauty, located on the fourth floor of Omni Nashville Hotel, Makara Salon and Spa offers a full-service spa experience. Relax in the luxury of the signature Makara Spa as you're pampered with an ultimate spa experience. Treat yourself to everything from a soothing facial to full salon services in the heart of downtown Nashville. To make an appointment, call 615-761-3600 or visit the Makara Spa on the Omni Nashville website. As always, valet is complimentary, and any service booked Monday through Thursday grants you full access to our rooftop pool and bar.
Hello, I'm Tom Hodges of Goggin Cold Hall, a regional refrigerated company that operates within a 500-mile radius of our home in Smyrna, Tennessee. We're seeking professional drivers to join our family-owned business. Our number one priority of serving our customers is by taking care of our employees first. With a $1,000 sign-on bonus plus a driver referral program, Goggin Cold Hall offers an excellent benefit package with a 401k retirement plan, paid vacations and holidays, insurance options, and a competitive pay structure that includes weekly, monthly, and quarterly bonuses. No Northeast travel, no touch freight, and with our late model Freightliner and Kenworth equipment, we promise to treat you in a first-class manner. If you're interested in joining our family at Goggin Cold Hall, please visit www.goggincold.com. That's www.goggincold.com or call us at 931-225-3873. That's Goggin Cold Hall, the coldest team in town.
In the heart of downtown Nashville, the Southern Steak and Oyster is a unique and animated eatery that offers an authentically Southern adventure with a twist. Whether it be breakfast, lunch, dinner, weekend brunch, the Southern Steak and Oyster has a variety of dining experiences. Visit thesouthernnashville.com to peruse menus, make reservations, purchase unique products, or book business and private parties. Located at 153rd Avenue South, the Southern Steak and Oyster offers free valet or validated self-parking. Give the Southern Steak and Oyster a call at 615-724-1762 or visit thesouthernnashville.com.
freemanweb.com.
With more than 15,000 apartments, you know that Freeman Web apartment communities must be managed with expertise by professionals who care about the quality of your residence with upkeep, cleanliness, and safety. Each community enjoys caring on-site property managers and constant communication with the home office. 7 days a week, round-the-clock emergency service, ongoing preventative maintenance, timely response to residents' requests. You'll find each of these well-managed apartments offers a unique style that makes it not just a place to live, but a place you comfortably can call home. For more information, visit freemanweb.com. That's freemanweb.com.
The Smashville app is your key to all things Nashville Predators. From game day stats and videos to rosters, promotion redemption, and contest information, the Smashville app has all the information Pred fans need this season. Make sure to download the official Smashville app in the Apple App Store or Google Play for access to exclusive game day content, promotions, and easy access to Nashville Predators information. Visit NashvillePredators.com/app for more.
Flat Rock Coffee, Tea, and More, located at 2640 Nolensville Pike, serves fine coffee and tea, locally brewed beer from Black Abbey Brewing Company, as well as fresh prepared food. Large groups are welcome for meetings or parties. They accommodate groups of 2 to 40. Call ahead to reserve your space. Follow them on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, or visit the web at flatrockcoffee.com. That's Flat Rock Coffee, Tea, and More, where neighbors come together. 2640 Nolensville Pike. Visit flatrockcoffee.com.
Grizz Nation. It's Health Night at FedEx Forum, presented by Blue Cross Blue Shield, and you won't want to miss the Grizzlies as they take on one of the greatest players of our generation, LeBron James, and the Lakers Monday at 7 p.m. Man. Grizz fans, grab your tickets for the 27th to watch your home team take on one of the league's most historic franchises, the Chicago Bulls. It's time to get Memphis and grab your tickets by calling 901-888-HOOP or shopgrizzlies.com today.
One-on-one with Greg Pogue, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel, right here, Bongo Java, Crazy Charlie, Jonathan Najjar producing on site, him and Zach Williams and Blake Lovell will take over top of the hour Forever March. Just got a press release from Vanderbilt Media Relations. Of course, they had this with all the rain and everything, their home opening weekend. Pepperdine, that game Friday, was canceled. The middle game yesterday was postponed, and the two teams will play a doubleheader beginning tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock over at Hawkins Field. Of course, it's supposed to be a sunshiny day tomorrow as all this stuff breaks. So, of course, we will have those games. Of course, we're also committed to do Vanderbilt women basketball at around 1 o'clock tip-off at Mississippi State. So we'll get that programming information out to you through our social media platforms through the day and just see how – well, of course, I've got the TSU basketball coaches show at 9 tomorrow morning. So we'll figure out all of that and let you know throughout the day just all as we're moving some furniture here because all of the rain and everything. Jeremy Finley is our guest, chief investigative reporter for the News 4 I-Team. Of course, wrote the marvelous novel, The Darkest Time of Night, released last June and now coming out this summer with the sequel, The Dark Above. Jeremy, have you read your bio on the website lately?
No, Greg, I can tell you that I have not done that lately.
This is a question I'll ask a lot of Titans or Predators because when they first come to the team, they'll fill out this questionnaire, and that bio won't change. Like, what's your favorite movie? And yeah. 12 years later, it's the same movie in the bio. But anyway, I'm going to read this paragraph to you. This is your bio on WSMV.com. Okay. Jeremy is in the bio here. And I don't know who wrote it, but Jeremy is reminded daily what's important in life thanks to the women who run his life, his wife Rebecca and their two daughters. When they allow him to do so, he's a voracious reader, repeatedly watches Star Wars, cheers on the St. Louis Cardinals, that's already been addressed, and that's in parentheses, has an unhealthy obsession with Jeep Wranglers, and is a terrible runner. Tell me about Rebecca. Where'd you meet your wife?
So my wife and I have actually known each other since we were in junior high. We were not high school sweethearts or anything like that, but we both grew up in the same town in southern Illinois. And we've known each other, but we didn't start dating until after college. She was a journalist at the time, and we met each other. We're working at competing TV stations, and was just one of those things. She has three sisters, and I always tell the story that she and her sisters were kind of legendary in our small town because they were all beautiful, and everybody was kind of intimidated because their father is a judge and is retired now. So you always knew, like, oh, you had to kind of watch yourself around the around the judge's daughters because they're all beautiful, but their dad's a judge. So, but she's phenomenal. She's done incredible work here in Nashville on various different ways. She's currently the board chair for End Slavery, which is an anti-human trafficking organization, and she was instrumental in bringing many things to the community foundation where she worked for years. So she's really been a true public servant in a lot of ways, and you know, she's pretty incredible stuff.
Tell me about your daughters.
So we've got my 12-year-old and my 9-year-old, and I'm always a little hesitant to talk about their names too much, just because,
that's cool.
You know, there's some people out there that aren't huge fans of the work that I do, but they're phenomenal. They're just the best thing that's ever happened in the whole wide world to me. And you know, it's the great thing about having daughters is somebody like myself, I just grew up with a brother. And so I, you know, I didn't have much experience in that world. And it's so true what they say about daddies and their girls. You know, you just, you know, whatever they need. We always joke about that in the middle of the night. You know, any of them could wake up and say, Mommy, or the house is on fire, or there's an earthquake, and I won't wake up. But if they say, Daddy, I'm up. Like that's all I got to hear is Dad, and I'm up. So it's a great thing. But they're great kids. They play all kinds of sports and do all kinds of great stuff with their school. So they're really great.
Well, I'll just tell you this, and I know you've heard this many, many times. My daughter, she was 12 last month. Now she's 25 and married and successful in the real estate business. So just you're going to sit here in about a dozen years or when they go off to college, and you're going to think, boy, that old Poe guy was right. Everybody's going to tell you that as well. It says one of your favorite assignments. How cool is this? The 2000 Summer Olympics in Athens, Greece, for WSMV and all the Meredith Corporation properties. That must have been pretty neat.
Oh, it was. You know, it's one of those things. You know, I talk about how hard-headed I can be in wanting to you know, do certain things. And you know, at the time, the station for years had gone to cover the Olympics, and it was one of the legendary things. And about WSMV, and I went to the general manager at the time and I said, hey, I really want to go cover the Olympics. And he's like, hey, we got sports guys, you know, you're not a sports guy. And I said, yeah, but you know, I know I can do a really good job. If you just send me, I can tell the stories of the athletes and the Middle Tennessee connections. And I just convinced him. To this day, I don't even know how I did. but it was one of the best experiences of my professional life. And anyone that has covered the Olympics or major sports events like that, you know, you really just live and breathe it. There isn't a whole lot of downtime. And so people will hear, and it sounds kind of glamorous, that it was in Athens, Greece. But we didn't really get to spend a whole lot of time day to day doing anything but just doing our, you know, working. But still, I mean, it was just phenomenal. I mean, to be there, to Michael Phelps was relatively new at the time, and the women's soccer team was amazing. And there were so many great Middle Tennessee stories. We did one on a guy that was a lighting expert here. He did stadiums for concerts. And then he went over to Greece to work on the closing ceremonies. And so it was just this really phenomenal experience. And I'm so thankful that I was able to do it.
Jeremy, we're going to take our last break, be back and wrap it up in a few here. 101 with Greg Pogue with Jeremy Finley, the chief investigative reporter for the News 4i team, and also the author as well. Back and wrap it up in just a few.
With more than 15,000 apartments, you know that Freeman Webb apartment communities must be managed with expertise by professionals who care about the quality of your residence with upkeep, cleanliness, and safety. Each community enjoys caring on-site property managers in constant communication with the home office. 7 day a week, round-the-clock emergency service, ongoing preventative maintenance, timely response to residents' requests. You'll find each of these well-managed apartments offers a unique style that makes it not just a place to live, but a place you comfortably can call home. For more information, visit FreemanWebb.com. That's FreemanWebb.com.
I'm Eric Opron, Managing Director of the Omni Nashville Hotel. I want to personally invite you to experience the local flavor of Music City at our award-winning property. From our one-of-a-kind culinary outlet to the ultimate luxury of our full-service Mokara Spa, Omni Nashville offers something for everyone. Whether it's the Biscuit Bar in our Southern-inspired Kitchen Notes restaurant or our upscale Honky Tonk bar lines, or if you prefer a romantic dinner, visit Bob's Steak and Chop House. Come on down and see us at 250 Fifth Avenue South, located in the heart of the SoBro District.
The Smashville app is your key to all things Nashville Predators. From game day stats and videos to rosters, promotion redemption, and contest information, the Smashville app has all the information Pred fans need this season. Make sure to download the official Smashville app in the Apple App Store or Google Play for access to exclusive game day content, promotions, and easy access to Nashville Predators information. Visit NashvillePredators.com/app for more.
Flat Rock Coffee, Tea, and More, located at 2640 Nolensville Pike, serves fine coffee and tea, locally brewed beer from Black Abbey Brewing Company, as well as fresh prepared food. Large groups are welcome for meetings or parties. They accommodate groups of 2 to 40. Call ahead to reserve your space. Follow them on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, or visit the web at flatrockcoffee.com. That's Flat Rock Coffee, Tea, and More, where neighbors come together. 2640 Nolensville Pike. Visit flatrockcoffee.com.
In the heart of downtown Nashville, the Southern Steak and Oyster is a unique and animated eatery that offers an authentically Southern adventure with a twist. Whether it be breakfast, lunch, dinner, weekend brunch, the Southern Steak and Oyster has a variety of dining experiences. Visit thesouthernnashville.com to peruse menus, make reservations, purchase unique products, or book business and private parties. Located at 153rd Avenue South, the Southern Steak and Oyster offers free valet or validated self-parking. Give the Southern Steak and Oyster a call at 615-724-1762 or visit thesouthernnashville.com.
Hello, I'm Tom Hodges of Goggin Cold Hall, a regional refrigerated company that operates within a 500-mile radius of our home in Smyrna, Tennessee. We're seeking professional drivers to join our family-owned business. Our number one priority of serving our customers is by taking care of our employees first. With a $1,000 sign-on bonus plus a driver referral program, Goggin Cold Hall offers an excellent benefit package with a 401k retirement plan, paid vacations and holidays, insurance options, and a competitive pay structure that includes weekly, monthly, and quarterly bonuses. No Northeast travel, no touch freight, and with our late model Freightliner and Kenworth equipment, we promise to treat you in a first-class manner. If you're interested in joining our family at Goggin Cold Hall, please visit www.goggincold.com. That's www.goggincold.com or call us at 931-225-3873. That's Goggin Cold Hall, the coldest team in town.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and what an action-packed Daytona 500 we saw. Some might say wreck-filled. It was basically the sole survivors left of this thing, where Denny Hamlin took home the checkered flag. Up next, we are going to see Atlanta Motor Speedway this weekend. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, this is Denny Hamlin. I get my NASCAR news on The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
Got a few more moments. 101 with Greg Pogue, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel, right here at Bongo Java. I-team leader, Jeremy Finley. Everyone in Bongo Java now is getting the, I don't know if you can hear it, but everyone in here is getting the the alert on their cell phones. Flash flood warning this area until 1 o'clock. Avoid the flooded areas. And, of course, I guess the worst of it's to come a little bit later. I know Jeremy Finley, Big Joe, you, everybody's sort of all, to use a term, not to be flippant about it, but it's all hands on deck. I know Big Joe was out covering the weather stuff last night, and as you mentioned, you were as well, and I think we got another go at it, another round of it coming in later today.
Yeah, the station has a really strong commitment to this kind of, any type that there's a threat like this or whatever, but it was quickly decided early on that, you know, we were all going to go out. And here's the thing about, you know, we've got incredible meteorologists, Lisa Spencer and Dan Thomas, and you know, Joe's our sports guy, I'm our chief investigative guy, but we all just throw that aside. I just got another alert from right on my phone right now. You know, to go out and do this. And, you know, Joe was down there. I think he was in Murray County yesterday when there was a water rescue. I was up here in Davidson County in some flood-prone areas. And, you know, it's just we're all kind of still scarred by the 2010 floods. And so, you know, we all have to take this pretty seriously.
Well, I mean, you take that one, of course, the worst in, 400 or 500 years here. But this one, it's, I mean, I was looking at just the number of roads closed in Rutherford County. I live out in the boonies, and I have three ways to leave my home in three different directions. I only have one option this morning. And right.
It's stuff that you really have to, you know, pay attention to. And you know, just being out as we were yesterday, you know, it's flooding is just so rough because it comes slow and then it comes fast. And people, you know, we've already had some evacuations down in, I believe it was in Murfreesboro today, from people who were stuck. And so, you know, you just really got to take it seriously. You got to really, you know, make sure that you're not messing around, especially when it comes to these roads that look like they're passable, but they may not be.
Well, Jeremy, and I hope you get to feeling better. I wish you could come down here. When the new book comes out later on in this year, we'll get you down here, bring the family, and we'll feed you at Kitchen Notes, and we'll I want a receipt. I'm gonna have Big Joe deliver your Toots wing sauce to you, and so make sure you get that, okay?
Yeah, I'm not gonna let him get by without this happening. So he's gonna be on alert.
Oh, it's, you know, and the thing about it is he would just put it under the seat of his Jeep and it would sit there for 3 months.
And I'd say, Joe, where's my stuff? And he'd go, oh, man, I got it under my front seat. It's been there for 3 months. You don't want to know, right?
Yeah. Well, congratulations on two more Emmys last Saturday night. And also congratulations to Big Joe on yet another Emmy as well. He's got a household of them now, so good for him. And, Jeremy, hey, congratulations. Obviously, what you do is being a former journalist. I'm now an entertainer, but being a former—that's a joke, by the way. But what you do with the I team there. Anyway, Jeremy, thanks for joining us. Appreciate you, man.
Well, Greg, I was just thrilled to be on. Look forward to coming back.
All right, thank you much.
All right.
Have a good day.
You too.
It's going to wrap it up from Bongo Java.